Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
I'm going to open up by reading a prayer that Paul wrote in Ephesians. It happens to be one of my most favorite. I could probably say it, but I want to get it right. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's in chapter 3, and you can follow along if you want to. Chapter 3 of Ephesians. And we will start. Well, before I do that, David asked me to do the class today. I'm Barbara, for those of you that don't know who I am. And I think I'm doing it next week, too. So it's like, and I said, okay, because years ago I told the Lord, if any of my pastors ever ask me to do anything, I guess I better say yes. And so it's kind of hard to say no after you've said that. So anyway, and I don't know why I just get so nervous. It's so ridiculous. Because he says, cast your care on him because he affectionately cares for us and watchfully watches over us. So he cares for y'all just as much as he does for me. So hopefully I won't goof up too bad. So, okay, starting at verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Wow, we all get our name from him, the I am. Every time we say our name, like we say I am so-and-so, we're saying his name first. Isn't that cool? Derives its name, so that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Every day, strengthened, Lord. Every day we want to be strengthened by your Holy Spirit in our inner man, day by day, to know you more and more, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That's what we want, Lord, that we all may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The power that works within us is the power of God. God, last time I talked to y'all, we talked about love, that God is love. It's the power of love that works within us, and that we are rooted, our roots go deep into that love, that we can't comprehend it. It's beyond knowledge. But we're so busy trying to figure everything out all the time. At least I am a lot of times. And it's like, just rest and receive that love and let your roots continue to go deep, deep into that love. And how do we do that? You know, Grace says we don't. It's not do anymore. It's done. But there are some things that are beneficial to us. For instance, like being in the Word of God, so that the living Word that is in us has something to work with. The written Word, because that's what tells us about him. So anyway, that's all trying to get me quit shaking. So thank you, Lord. So I was like, the Lord is so amazing. He is just so amazing. There are all these things that run through our brains all the time. And when David said, okay, you got it next week, I'm thinking, okay, I can do that. My brain was just going everywhere. Does that happen to you, Bill? It's so weird. It's like it goes choo, 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 choo. And I have a random way of thinking anyway, and that makes it even worse. So I just want to tell y'all how good he is, and then I want to hear from some of you. So be thinking, one or two of you, just to share quickly what the Holy Spirit is doing today, you know, like the last few weeks, not 20 years ago. Although that's good too, what he did long ago. But what's happening with you and him today in the spirit realm? But anyway, so Wednesday morning, you know that weird time of morning before you're fully awake? You're asleep, but you're sort of awake, but you're not really awake. You know, it's kind of strange. And for people that dream a lot, that's really an interesting time of morning. Well, all of a sudden, Wednesday morning, I just hear all these scriptures just start going through. And I'm going, oh, my word. Oh, my word. Oh, okay, okay. So I get out of bed and go write them all down because I think that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But to me, that supernatural, our heavenly daddy that loves us so much is supernatural. He's way above and beyond the natural. We walk here on this earth, but we're not of this earth anymore because the supernatural love lives inside of us. We are supernatural beings. I mean, the more that gets in, the deeper and the harder that gets rooted in there, or the stronger it gets in, it gets exciting. So does anybody have anything? Jeff? Yes. That's awesome. That's awesome. Though, yes, thank you. That is just fabulous. Because the more we see of how much he loves us, then we can say back freely to him, I love you. There were years where I couldn't say that because I felt guilty because I loved my husband. I loved pizza. I love all these other things. I mean, really, this is real. This was years ago how I was thinking, and I thought, Lord, I want to love you, but I don't know how. But we keep just receiving. Clark has taught us through the years, be good receivers. And I just kept saying, okay, I receive your love. And that's so good, Jeff. Thank you. So, okay, this morning, we're going to talk about the throne room. And turn over to Revelation chapter 4. I don't know about you, but when I would read that in the past, that whole chapter 4 and 5, is about what's going on in front of the throne of God. there in the throne room. And I could preface this with a lot of things from, but I'm just not going to, because this is how he started out on Wednesday morning. Throne room, Revelation chapter 4. So I thought, okay, it's sort of overwhelming and a little scary, but we're going to, okay. Is anybody a good reader in here and likes to read? Well, this one happens to be the New American Standard, but you can, whichever, King James, New King James, New American Standard.
So we're in chapter 4, verse 1.
Yes, the whole chapter.
Okay.
do it. Okay. Oh, you know what? Will that sound on the
okay.
on the stream? Okay, do it loud.
Show you what must take place after these things. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads.
Okay, let's just stop there for a second. Now, that doesn't sound too scary, does it? That sounds fabulous. It's like a door. Who is the door?
Jesus.
He told us very plainly in plain language, I am the door. And so the book of Revelation, a lot of people have thought it's a revelation of the Antichrist, but it's not. Look right there in chapter 1. It says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, Jesus, to show to his bondservants. So it's got to be good. It can't be all bad. So this throne room is beautiful. And the voice is like a trumpet. There's a lot about trumpets in here and all that. But remember, when we read it, because you weren't here last time, every time you see God, say God, love, right after God. Because he is love, and it has changed the whole way I have looked at the scriptures when I read it, and I interpret God. I'll read, you know, God Almighty, love, God, love, Almighty. We are prisoners of love. Hallelujah, we believers. It's like, yes. Okay, I just wanted to quickly look at, he was in the spirit on the Lord's Day. We are in the spirit all the time, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. I really and truly don't believe it has anything to do with feelings. It's the truth of what God's word says. You are no longer in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. And we do have special encounters at times, like Jeff. He had a really cool encounter with the love of God. We do have special encounters, but that's not all there is to it. It's way beyond that. And just to know that we are in the spirit. So John was in the spirit, and he saw this wonderful, beautiful throne. And over in Ezekiel, it describes it also, but we're not going to go there right now. But the throne wasn't the main thrust. What was the main thing that he was looking at? The one on the throne, God Almighty. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And what did he look like? He was sitting there on the throne, and he looked like a jasper stone. Jasper, just in case anybody doesn't know, y'all probably already know this, but jasper is red, brilliant red. No, excuse me. Jasper is clear like a diamond, crystal clear, beautiful, gorgeous. And then the sardis is the red. All these colors. And then an emerald, like, I'm going to use a New Age word, so forgive me, an aura. Like, there's this rainbow around that the colors of God, he saw this glorious shining being, this crystal clear diamond shining red, and it made a rainbow. You know when you see light through a crystal, how you see all the colors of the rainbow? But it had this emerald color overshadowing everything. One time, years ago, this has been a long time ago, we had those tornadoes come through Central Florida, and where we lived, we were living up in Sanford at that time, it was really loud, and the trees were falling down and cracking and all kind of stuff, and it was in, like, at midnight, and we woke up, and the whole atmosphere had a greenish color. That was the first time in my whole life and the only time I've ever seen that greenish color in the atmosphere. That was really strange. But that was a cool experience. Okay, I'm going to take a dog track here. I mean, whatever you call it. We woke up. Our daughter was back at home. She was in college. She'd gone away, and she'd come back, and she was going to UCF. And we woke up, and we had a two-story house, and my husband said, get downstairs, because we thought the whole house was going to explode because that green atmosphere, and you could feel the pressure. It was weird. I'm not kidding you. It was really strange. So we run downstairs, and we had a little powder room under the steps. So all three of us cram in there like this, and I'm in there going, glory, 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 because I was so scared I couldn't say anything else. And Danielle goes, mother. And about that time, then everything calmed down. You could smell the pine from the trees and all that. Later, we found out that tornado was coming directly for our house. It had crossed, we had 5 acres in natural Florida woods back there in Sanford. It had crossed the creek. We had a great big oak tree on the corner of our property back there. It had crossed the creek, stopped, turned around, and went back across the creek. It didn't tear the tree down. If it had kept coming in that direction, it would have just demolished our house. It was in, because we saw the track of it in the newspaper a few days later. We didn't even know how protected we were. Our daddy is so awesome. But I told Danielle, I said, well, it was because I was saying, glory, glory, glory. But what better thing to say? Kind of like, holy, holy, holy. So anyway, our heavenly Abba is on the throne. Jesus is there with him. And then it goes on and describes the rest of it. The 24 elders there on their thrones with white robes and crowns. I mean, this is an awesome, awesome scene. Okay, if you will go ahead and read to the end of chapter 4.
Creature was like a lion, and the second creature like a calf, and the third creature had a face like that of a man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks, to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created."
Amen. Thank you. Oh, what an awesome scene. But one translation, instead of calling it living creatures, says animals, you know, when it's describing those beings. And I mean, it's got to be a little bit scary and overwhelming. Lightning, thunder, one translation says voices, one says noises. I mean, and these creatures, I mean, with these eyes all over, in other words, saying that they have intellect, they can see everything going on behind, before, and all of that. This huge scene. And then down into chapter 5, we find out that Jesus is right there. He's called the Lamb of God, standing there as if he was slain. And we know the book of Revelation is symbolic of so much stuff. So he is right there. And in Ephesians, it tells us, chapter 2, verse 6, if you want to check it out later, that we are seated with him in heavenly places. We are walking here in this body on this earth. But at the same time, we who are believers, we are seated with him in heavenly places. We are already in heavenly places. I don't get it, but it says it, so I believe it. I mean, I just have to be that simple. It's just like, oh, Lord, how awesome can that be? Not only that, he is living in us. We have heaven in us. Where he is, heaven is. Well, come on, Barbara. I've been living so far below. So far, and I am just fed up with it and tired. Are any of you... Are you wanting to see the manifestation of the sons of God in this earth? Now, Bill's little grandson, was it Aiden? Yes. This was years ago, said the most awesome statement. I know the other grandmother, and she's the one that told me this. At his school, they were praying or something for the meal, and at the end of it, or sometime during that, he goes, "And God, we just want to see the manifestation of the sons of God." It was something like that. Well, when the other grandmother's name is Barbara, when she was telling me about it, I don't ever get chill bumps. Some people get chill bumps all the time when they're talking about, but rare. I mean, just rare do I. When she told me that he said that, it went boom. Just back and forth, up and down, and I thought, oh, my word. She said, "What's the matter with you? I don't even know what he's talking about." And I go, "Well, I can't explain it right now. I don't even know." But, yes, we are wanting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, we're going to skip all the way down to verse 8 of 5, and I'll read that to us. Chapter 5, verse 8. It says, when he had... Okay, John was crying and crying and crying, because nobody was found worthy to open the seals on the book. One of the angels or one of the elders told him, "Stop your crying. The Lamb of God has been, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is worthy to open the seals." And let's start at verse 6. It says, "And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders, a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God." Now we know that's Jesus. "Sent into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him," God, love, "who sat on the throne." He came and took the book out of love who sat on the throne. That's pretty awesome. when he had taken the book, Jesus, love, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. Listen to the next phrase, which are the prayers of the saints. Every translation I looked in, which I only looked in about six, every one of them had that phrase the same. Golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Oh, my goodness. Our prayers are right there before the throne of grace. But what I'm really wanting to get to also, and then, well, we just have to read this next phrase again. Okay, and they sang a new song. Everybody up there. All the people up there, the creatures, the angels, whoever. I mean, it's loaded with a lot of beings. And they sang a new song and said, "Worthy are you to take the book and break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God love with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Well, scripture, as we've learned, is multi-leveled. It's not just one thing. We will reign upon the earth then, later. But that's not all. I think it's talking about we reign upon the earth now. We are supernatural beings with the supernatural love God in us. And he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. You go and make disciples." All you do is walk. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has prepared ahead of time for us to walk in. We walk in the Spirit. We are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We walk around letting his life come out of us, and we don't have to be afraid to go before the throne of grace, because we have been invited fully to come boldly. Look over at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I know y'all know this. I don't know. Something different has been happening lately. It's like I'm much more aware of the supernatural presence and power of God. Although I don't necessarily have a feeling, but things have been happening different. And what did Jesus tell us over in the Gospels? He said, I think it's in John. Yes, it's in the Gospel of John. It says, "The works that I have done, you are to do, and even greater." Well, how many of you can say you've really been walking in the greater? No, just the works that he did. I haven't been walking in that to the extent that I want to be. Now, we've all prayed for people and seen people healed, which is awesome. We've seen people get born again, saved, all that. It's awesome. It's fabulous. But there's more, I'm telling y'all. I want you to get a fire in your heart. The vehement flame of our God. He is a consuming fire. Let the fire, love of God consume you to where it's his life coming out. His life, not your life, his life. He wants to come out. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, well, we'll start at verse 14. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." He knows all this junk that we go through. Why should we continue to reiterate it all the time? Why don't we talk about what he's done and what he's doing? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, he sympathizes with our weaknesses, but one, him, love, who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. Draw near with confidence. Well, so that means you don't have to have any fear to draw near to that awesome throne of God. Just crawl right up in his lap and get up there, because he's our Abba, our daddy. And that word confidence, this is so cool. It's boldness, freedom of speech. But when I was looking it up, it went even further, and it says the absence of fear in speaking. We don't have to be afraid about speaking anything to him, talking to him about everything. Boldly, speaking boldly, hence confidence. Cheerful courage was one of the definitions. Cheerful courage. Oh my goodness, isn't that awesome? And then this said, without any connection necessarily with speech. He knows every word before it's on our tongue. It's like, oh, Daddy. and he is constantly out there saying, come. Come, Jesus. How many times, I didn't bother to look this up, but how many times through the Gospels did he say, come? Come and see. Come to me. Come, come. The book of James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He already came to us. The creator of all things came, gave his life for us so that he could get us back. He says, come, come with all boldness. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Tell that fear, because listen, there's a scaredy cat standing here talking to y'all. But he is doing such a work, and I'm learning just to say, okay, shut up, fearing, get out. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I have to talk to myself like that sometimes. And it rises up from the spirit. It's not like you're trying to do a work to get him to be happy with you. We've learned that, right? Okay. But there are some things that are beneficial to us. Instead of indulging all those thoughts that come in here that are negative and yucky and terrible and blah, just tell them to shut up. We have authority in Jesus to do that. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in there. Oh, my goodness. So we have no need to be afraid to come to his throne of grace to receive mercy. Mercy gets rid of misery. And grace is favor, and it brings us into his presence. It's just like, oh my goodness. So now, I better hurry up. Get over to Colossians chapter 3. Been working on this scripture for many years. Well, you know, when you plant a seed, it takes a long time for the roots to go down and the stem to come up and the leaves and the buds and the fruit. Well, you just keep on planting seeds inside. Seeds of the word inside of you. Okay, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 2, verse 20 says, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to its decrees? Don't handle, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. Do this, do that. You know, religious things of the world too, say do all this. Because it says they are destined to perish in accordance with the commandments and the teachings of, you know, man. Why are we submitting to the things of the world when we are not of the world anymore? We are of Christ. We have the living God in us. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion, self-abasement, and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against our fleshly indulgences. Now, therefore, if you have been raised, or since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, that throne room. Keep your focus. Set your mind, well, wait a minute, let me read that again. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, love. He's love. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, love. When Christ, now this is the scripture. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. I used to always think, eons ago, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, I was going to Wekiva Assembly of God Church, which it's not even called that anymore. And Ron Johnson was the pastor. And I loved Ron and Sandy. They're great. He was preaching on this scripture. So that's how long I've been working on this. And he was talking about that, but I didn't hear anything he said. Because the Lord started speaking to me and said, that is not just for heaven, verse 4. That is for now, to walk in right now, in this day. And anyway, when Christ, the anointed one, does he live in us by his Holy Spirit? So the anointing is in us, who is our life. We have given our life to him. He matters more than everybody else. Nobody else can compare. Mama, daddy, husband, wife, children, houses, lands, money, cars, clothes, blah, 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 blah. You can go on. He is number one. I have given totally to him. Who is our life is revealed. Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When last night I had a dream, and I dream a lot, but I don't usually dream spiritual dreams, but something's happening recently, and there was this person standing there, and they were sick, and but it was a big person, and I don't know if it was a man or a woman or what, but it was a big person, and moaning and groaning and carrying on, and that probably has to do with, I see a lot of that, because I work in an apartment building that has seniors, 62 and over. So I hear a lot of moaning and groaning, and I just sometimes I want to go. But anyway, this person was there, and I just boldly went up and just laid my hand on that person's head and said, I don't know exactly what I said, to tell you the truth, but it was something like, heal. And that was it. It wasn't a big, long sentence. And that person just went, okay, and went on off, completely healed. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's what we want, to reach the world for Jesus. I probably said something like healed in Jesus' name. But we want to reach the world. We want believers, because believers sometimes are the most miserable of all people, which is sad, sad, sad. It makes me want to cry. We want to reach the lost for the Lord. When he is revealed, we're revealed with him in his glory. His glory is going to cover the earth. The knowledge of his glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How do you think that's going to look? It's finally dawning on me. It's going to cover the earth by us, coming out of us. His glory, he's going to get the glory. We aren't, but he has so chosen his little creatures here, his children, to be co-laborers with him in this world. And all we have to do, and back to the Song of Solomon, all we have to do is say, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. I mean, I'm his, and he's mine. And he says to that little maiden, and the king is Jesus Christ, talking to the bride of Christ, which is us, believers. He says, you ravish me with one look of your eye. One look. We can undo him. His love is so great for us. As we just glance at him, he is undone with love for us. So, okay. So because we've been raised with him, we set our vision on him. the things of heaven where he is, on his life, on his love, on his glory, on his goodness, on his care, on his provision, on his health. The one, oh, okay. This is so cool. You know that scripture over there in Isaiah that says, by his stripes or wounds, you are healed. And then Peter quotes it, and he says, by his stripes, you were healed. Well, I wanted to look up the word stripes or wounds. I think it's stripes in the King James, and my concordance is coordinated to the King James. That word stripes, this is awesome. It comes from a root word in the Hebrew. I never knew this until about 3 days ago. It means to join. It also means black and blue, you know, beating and all that. But one of the words is to join. We are healed because we're joined to him. Oh, is that the most awesome and wonderful thing? So I wanted to get to, well, next week we'll finish it up. So this week, think about, don't let fear keep you from going very boldly with cheerful courage to the throne of grace, expecting and knowing that he is there and he is your loving Abba. And he wants to answer your prayers. He wants his glory, his life, to flow out of you to everybody you come in contact with. Even if you don't say a word, they can see the light of the love life of Jesus Christ coming out of you. And it can affect them to where if they're lost, they might want to get saved. If they're saved, maybe they'll get healed. You might just walk by. So anyway, thank you, Lord. I just thank you for your blessing. I thank you that you love, you are love. And because of that, you draw us to yourself. And we just ask that you would go out and let your glory, your love, your light flow out of us this week without trying to, but just saying, oh, I love you, Lord. You have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.